Guys, I was just in Cabo a couple weeks ago, and I had a lot of tequila. I had a lot of different kinds of tequila, but none of them were as good as Amorada tequila. If you drink tequila, I have a treat for you. Amorada tequila, made in a small family-owned distillery in Mexico, as it should be, and made with only 100% Weber Blue Agave and nothing else. Every bottle of Amorada is handcrafted, hand-blasted, hand-capped, and hand-labeled. To find out more, go to AmoradaTequila.com and start drinking Amorada tequila today. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you've all had a fantastic week. I have a great show for you today. My friend Johnny Aiken, who goes under the name Johnny 8-Track professionally, is returning to the show after 5 years. He's not here in the studio. We spoke via Skype as he lives in England, in Great Britain. He's been, I haven't talked to him in 5 years, okay? He was here making a record with our friend Shane Lawler 5 years ago, and then Shane's since has moved to Florida. And Johnny lived in England the whole time. I think he lives in London. He loves it over there. He spent the last 3 years playing drums with the band Spiritualized. I'm sure you've heard them. He's put out a record called 8 Hours Work, 8 Hours Sleep, 8 Hours for What We Will, which is absolutely fantastic. And you can find that, and you can find out when he's playing and doing all that stuff by going to johnny8track.com. So I hadn't seen Johnny in a long time, and I was at Frenchie Smith's party at South by Southwest this last March, ran into Johnny there. What a great surprise. Hey, man, how's it going? Great. Let's get together and do a podcast. I can't. I'm leaving tomorrow to Houston to play a show. So we couldn't do it then. So we've literally spent the last 6 months trying to schedule this podcast and finally got to it this week. It was great. It was done via Skype. So it's not the exact same sound quality as all the shows, but it's a fantastic conversation. It's always great to catch up with Johnny. He's got this record label called Chicken Ranch Records in England is re-releasing all of his back catalog. And he's working on new music. He just went and played a festival in India on his own, Johnny 8-Track. So go to johnny8track.com. Find out how you get his music. You can find it everywhere online, Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, all the places where you find music. So we'll be getting this fantastic conversation with me and Johnny 8-Track in just a minute. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. As you know, I had the big birthday weekend last weekend. My Uncle Jack came to town last Thursday. He was here until Sunday. My birthday was on Saturday. We had a lot of adventures. I told you we went to ACL, got to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in like a first-class situation, watching them from the soundboard. Great, great time. And then Jack left on Sunday. I've been missing Jack. So Monday, I had to get back to work. I'm working on this Austin Music Foundation video for the artist development program where me and my friend AJ Vallejo are partnering together. He's directing and editing it, and I'm kind of like, you know, doing the producer job, getting everyone there on time, scheduling a thing, getting the questions together for the people. And so I'm very excited to show you guys this video. I'll post it. It should be up definitely within the month. So it has to be done by the first week of like November. So you'll see it. You'll get to be a part of it. You'll get to see what my friend AJ and I are capable of doing. Speaking of AJ and I, we did release episode 17 of our cooking show, Cooking and Drinking with Johnny and AJ. We are doing Jazz Up Your Chicken. We make a chicken marsala. Right? Yeah, Italian. Fantastic chicken that AJ made, and it's a very funny show, and we write a song, we had a lot of drinking, and it's always good. You can like our Facebook page, Cooking and Drinking with Johnny and AJ. All the episodes are up there, lots of pictures of what we do. We've gone on TV, we're going to a fancy restaurant to make hamburgers soon, I'll let you know about that. We get invited to do cool stuff doing that. So also, this week, on Tuesday, AJ and me and our friend Amy Edwards went to this place, Marshall's, in Pflugerville, where they've been having this series of songwriting competitions, and that was the finals on Tuesday night, and I got to be a judge along with AJ and along with Amy, and it was a tough call, and we picked this guy, Eric Henchy, I think is his last name, Anyway, look out for him. He's going to be making a record at 512 Studios and putting it out very soon. He's a Sturgill Simpson kind of guy. Got a big voice. He's a big dude, big kind of bear guy. I don't think he's gay, but in the gay community, he would be a bear. Excuse me. Had to clear my throat. I don't know if I have the allergies or if I have the, I don't know what I have. I was sick a few weeks ago, as you remember, from the show, but it lingers, you know? It's like a lingering, kind of like stuff in your throat and stopped up nose situation, but I'm getting over it. Guys, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, Skyrocket is back to work this week. We're back. Tonight, October 20th, we will be in Pflugerville playing at Hanover's, rocking that place to the core. That place is a lot like, I've never seen the movie Roadhouse, but I've seen scenes from it, and it's very much like that bar, so come on out, because that's a weird place to see us play. Also, if you are in Houston tomorrow night, Saturday, October 21st, we will be back at Fitzgerald's, my home place. I've been playing there since 1988. I don't know if it's good or bad that I still play there, but I love that I still play there. I love going there. I love showing up for soundcheck. I love looking at that room. I love being on the stage and looking at the audience. We always have great shows there. We're all very comfortable on that stage. It sounds great there, and it's a great venue to see Skyrocket. So if you live in Houston, I know you've been doing the hurricane thing, getting it back together, getting your lives back together. Maybe it's time to go out and see some music and have a good time. That's what I think. All right, so without further ado, let's get to this conversation with my friend Johnny Aiken, also known as Johnny 8-Track. He checked in with me via Skype all the way from England. We have a fantastic conversation as he's been on the road for the last 3 years with the band Spiritualized. You might remember him from the band The Four Thieves in the early 2000s. They were here. They were on New West Records. Nick Armstrong was in that band. My friend Shane Lawler was in that band. Great band, and Johnny's a great songwriter. Johnny's a great drummer. Johnny does it all. Johnny 8-Track. Here's me and him talking all the way from England via Skype. Let's get down. No, he looks very young.
He really
does. Yeah. He. Let me ask you this. You were with Spiritualized in India?
No,
you were on your own.
Johnny 8-Track, yeah, solo show.
Okay, good. So it was at a festival? Is that what it was? Because I saw a list of... Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
The Zero Festival. Have we started the interview now? Are we recording now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been recording.
Amazing. Okay. So, oops. the Zero Festival, which I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly, I got invited to play that when I briefly met these guys at South by Southwest earlier this year. So it was great that, you know, bumping into you, we've made this interview happen. Bumping into these guys from a band called Men Who Pause, who do this festival. They've been doing it 6 years now. It's in the northeast of India, and it's over 4 days. About 5,000-6,000 people go to it, and there's about 40 bands play. And online, it got sort of compared to like the Coachella of India.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, and whilst I think it could be that one day, it was an amazing festival to play. It was my first time in India, you know, only time any band that I've been in has been invited to play out there. Spiritualized changed their lineup in late 2016, and I'm still, you know, we're still all in touch. We're all still on, you know, I'm still part of the gang, but, you know, it's Jason's band. He likes to work with different people. So I might get to play with them again, which would be cool. So it was just a great sort of, you know, the Zero Festival was just a great way to do something really exciting. you know, keep building on my own, my little, you know, my little profile for Johnny 8-Track, making that do its own kind of thing, which was something I, you know, I was speaking to you about sort of 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And
well, the tunes that you sent me, those are tunes you did with Frenchie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and those are ones that are on 8 hours work, 8 hours sleep, 8 hours for What We Will.
A couple of them are. Okay, the ones that I made with Frenchie are some new recordings. We'll probably use one of them to kind of do a reissue of 8 hours work.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the things I want to do.
Because Chicken Ranch Records is reissuing your stuff.
Yeah, they're putting out a couple of albums that I did in England that, because I got on an advert a few years ago.
What was the advert for?
It was for the whole world PSP Sony thing.
Oh, wow.
And so we did a cover version of that old hymn.
Oh, yeah.
World, changed it to Whole World in Your Hands. And it was fun, you know, nice, it popping up, my voice popping up on, you know, on adverts in between The Simpsons and stuff like that. And, I mean, it was quite a few years ago, so we got decent money for it and thought, well, you know, let's try and do something. Made a couple of albums for a label that kind of never really took off the ground in England. So Mike from Chicken Ranch has very kindly agreed to put out a couple of the albums. So we revisited one of the tracks, a track called Something Good, which I've sent to you,
mm-hmm.
which Frenchie did a really good job on. I got some fantastic Austin musicians to play on it. Sam Thompson, who I think is playing with Nick Armstrong and the Thieves right now. Powell, the bass player.
Sure. I've played with him for years, actually.
Oh, well, there we go. Yeah. There we go. I mean, yeah, you know, an amazing bass player. I can't believe he's not in some huge signed band, to be honest. And Sam.
I think because he's smart enough to know that he makes a better living being a stock guy. Because he's like a stockbroker. Yeah.
He's working on different stuff, isn't he? But yeah. I mean, when he, you know, I'd never played a gig with him before, and when he came down, he's just like, whoa, man, you know. Yeah. I get to play with, you know, loads of amazing musicians, really, because I get to do the spiritualized thing and get to play, you know, I've played with David Viner in the past, played loads of stuff down at Toe Rag Studios in the UK. I work with lots of different people all the time, sort of either drumming for them or doing stuff myself, and then James Mays.
From here.
Who's working with us as well, yeah.
Yeah, I love that dude.
Yeah, who's doing great things with his school of music.
Yeah.
Had a day named after him or something.
Yeah. They gave him something. A day.
Yeah.
James Mays epic. Day. Yeah.
How many of us can say we have that? There's no Johnny 8-Track Day. Is there a Johnny Gowdy Day? There must be.
There was. There was. But you know what pissed me off was I thought when you got the day, then like every April 5th was Johnny Gowdy Day, but it's not. So my experience when I got my day, I was like, okay, so from now on, we're going to celebrate this day on whatever. And they're like, oh, no. It's just today. And I hadn't planned anything for it. And so I feel like, I felt ripped off. But you know what's great, Johnny, is you get to give your grandma like the plaque that the city gives you. And then she just thinks the world of me now. Like my grandma's like, oh, you don't understand. They gave Johnny his own day. So yeah. Anyway, getting a day is a pretty big thing here. So wait a minute. So let's go back to this. So now that you're back at, from India, do you do a lot of gigs as a drummer, like to keep the money flowing?
I do as many as I can. So I'm looking for the right people to work with. It's pretty tough to top spiritualized.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would be nice to get involved in some more stuff like that. But then also, you know, at the same time, you always learn something new from everyone you work with.
Yeah.
You know, me and Nick went and worked on a new record after like 12 or 14 years since the last one. We went into Toe Rag in London again back in April of this year. That's sounding really interesting, but you know, we've got to get back on that as soon as he can get back over to the UK. So I'm always looking for stuff. You know, I think I'm sure as you know now, you can't just sort of have one thing that you do.
Yeah.
I make records. I play in other people's records. Play live. Play. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teaching. I've even started DJing now. You know, I did a couple of DJ gigs on like a yacht over summer, which was a lot of fun. So that's, you know, spreading my wings.
Yeah,
a bit wide.
You know, I ran into, do you know the producer and mix engineer Jack Joseph Puig?
I do not.
He's a pretty big dude if you look up his discography. But I ran into him at the airport, and I worked with him a long time ago. But we lost touch, but we always got along real well. So I ran into him at the airport, and we sat down and started talking. He was asking me what I was up to, and I was like, well, man, I do all this different shit. And he's like, dude, we all do. He's like, I'm in Austin because I'm, like, trying to make MP3s sound better with Dell. And so
yeah. It
really, like, the music business, unless you're, like, in the Red Hot Chili Peppers or, like, the guy from Spiritualized, you are just, like, going from job to job. And it's, like, it can be playing huge shows with Spiritualized, playing odd music festivals in India with your own thing, or, you know, doing a song for the Sony PlayStation or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's, yeah. It's a series of hustles now. It's not just I'm this dude with this, I'm the drummer of this band. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that it's been that way for a lot longer than a lot of people think. And I think it's been that way for many creative people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic if you can sort of focus more on one thing. But I'm sure the Red Hot Chili Peppers, in between albums, are doing a lot of other things. You know, they've moved into acting.
Right.
Some of them have, you know, worked with different musicians. I mean, Flea was always playing with different bands and things
right.
like that. And filmmakers, you know, they do adverts, they do music videos. And I think there's a lot more people are involved in different things than everybody realizes. And I don't think there's any kind of... I don't think there's any kind of problem with that. In actual fact, it gives you more variety. You don't get so bored. You're working with different people all the time, and I think I've been really lucky to come across, you know, loads of, you know, different ways of working and different ways of thinking, because you go into a situation and work with someone that you never imagined you would have done if you'd have said, well, all I'm going to do, you know, is be the guitarist in this band. I mean, yeah, okay, maybe you look at the Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
those guys are rolling. They've been the Rolling Stones for life, and that's
right.
that's incredible. And that must be, you know, a really very amazing and interesting way to live your life. But you know, a lot of pressure to do that, to constantly be that, and retain that. And that's why it only happens to so few, you know, so few artists, because it's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. Let me ask you this. You have a song and an album called All America Taught Me.
I do have a song called All America
yeah.
Taught Me, and that is from 8 hours work, 8 hours sleep. Eight
right.
Hours
okay.
Sleep.
Oh, it was released as a single. I'm sorry. That's how I saw it on your band.
It was, it was released as a single a while ago. Yeah.
So talk to me about America, like, from your perspective. Like, what did you think of it before you came? What did you uh-huh. think of it when you got here? And when you got back, what did it ultimately teach you?
I mean, I didn't come out to the States until I played South by Southwest back in 2004, I think that was.
Yeah.
And yeah, before that, it had just been something you saw in the movies.
Right.
Yeah. And it was also, as well, from a musical point of view, you would make it in England, and then you had to try and crack America.
Right.
And there was this kind of thing for a lot of British bands. Some would do it and some wouldn't. You know, it was like making it big in America was like the icing on the cake, the ultimate acid test of how good your band actually was.
Right.
And there was always stories of bands going over there who would be really big in England, and then they wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't happen for them. Like, I think they said that about Suede and
right,
I think
right.
they said Blur. And they tried to make out like Oasis never made it big in America, which was always hilarious.
It's weird.
Because I saw them play Madison Square Garden.
Right.
So, So it was, you know, it was like the crowning glory. You know, it was this place to go where the streets were truly paved with gold. And, you know, of course, it was quite exotic and exciting to go there. You know, hanging out in Austin and hanging out in New York and hanging out in L.A. definitely beats hanging out in Coventry.
Right.
Birmingham, Boston. Not to put those places down, you know.
Yeah. But yeah.
It was a really, really exciting place to get in to get out to as you know, musicians who grew up in England, and only, you know, for me and Shane and Nick and for the other another band that I came over with.
You guys moved here, right?
Yeah, we did in the end. The first time the band came over, it was the second time for me coming over. I'd never been over on a vacation or anything. You know, I'd never really experienced America in any other way than going there to work, which I actually really like. I always prefer visiting a country and working there rather than visiting it as a tourist. I find that you get treated very differently.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just a complete mystery of a place. And of course, when we first came over, you got $2 to every pound.
Yeah.
So we felt like rich men.
Yeah.
when we first came over, and it was to experience America when there's someone else making it all happen. You know, because you guys a record label making it happen.
Yeah.
And doing it that rather than kind of like, you know, saving your money for a ticket and blagging a gig and seeing what was happening. We had record label support. We had New West Records meeting us and bringing us over. The first band I came over with, I think it was the British Phonographic Institute or something, BPI, I know that. They funded it, and we were appearing on like a stage that was purely for UK bands. So when you've got someone else organising it all, there's great advertising, great marketing, you know, other big bands are playing, then you feel special, you feel prepared for, you know, you feel, because I think a lot of people head over to do a show in a foreign country with ideas of how amazing it's going to be. And then, of course, you can end up playing in a bar that's not downtown, and not realizing that if you're not downtown, you might as well not be there at all.
Right.
No one's going to be at the gig. You're not going to be in the heart of what's going on. You know?
Yeah.
And you've just got no comprehension of you know, what the venues might be like or what, you know, what's going to happen.
Go ahead.
No.
I've always felt sorry for whoever is like, coming from anywhere in Europe or Asia or South America, and they're like, oh man, we got into this festival and we're going to do this thing, but you're playing like at 1 o'clock at in a food truck parking lot that no one's at with like a shitty PA. We're like, oh yeah, sorry, they didn't bring in the bass cabs. Sorry. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, because I saw that happen so many times, and I remember like, our taxi driver when we arrived, you know, telling the foreboding stories of the bands West 5th Street, you know.
Oh right, yeah.
and you're playing something and there's no one there, you know, and bands who have traveled from, like you say, you know, far, you know, the middle of Europe or Asia or something like that, you know.
It's unbelievable. Let me ask you this. What are your plans then now with Johnny 8-Track? Now you've got a little bit more time to focus on it. You've got these re-releases coming up there in the UK. Are you going to come back here? Or are you just going to focus on kind of like touring there and in Europe?
I'm going to, you know, work with Chicken Ranch to get everything online, get everything out there, get all the artwork right. Get some shows together, but I don't think I'll be doing any touring or anything like that for it, because it's just a UK back catalogue on an American independent label. I'm going to be looking for a UK label to put it out as well, because I'm also working on a new album with the guitarist from Spiritualized.
Oh, awesome.
A guy called Tony Doggan Foster, who's worked with all kinds of people. He helped Jake Bugg do his first record. He you know, was playing guitar for Julian Cope. He's the, you know, he's Jason's sideman. He's always been in the band throughout any kind of, you know, lineups they've had. He's played with Star Sailor. He's played with...
I remember them.
Yeah, so he's played with pretty much everybody. He's very, very well known in the music industry. I think he should be more well known in the music industry outside of the record labels and people get to work with him. But you know, I think he's so into his music. You know, he's one of those people who's more about the hustle, more about the music than being a star. So we're working on an album that is going to be a lot less sort of pop and indie than the last record was. Because I tend to make music that just reflects how I feel at the time. And so this album's going to be a lot more kind of psychedelic, because we were doing a lot of, you know, a lot of gigs at festivals with a lot of psychedelic bands throughout 2013, 2014, 2015. But then it'll still be punctuated by sort of pop songs. And then figuring out how I'm going to make that work live, because I tend to play solo.
I saw videos of you playing solo, you know, and you're great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And the songs come across really well, but I understand how you'd want to have a little more going on.
I think that I can't help but sort of want to do so many different things, because I've always, you know, I guess I describe myself as a rock and roll drummer, but then I'm more of a singer, you know, solo singer-songwriter, and I'm more inspired by country music when I sing and play guitar by myself. But then when you get in the studio, and I tend to just record everything, I'll play as much as I can, the drums, the bass, the piano, and then work with an engineer like Tony Foster, who can then put great guitar parts, harmonica parts, or anything else on top. And that's suddenly when you start creating this album that actually you probably need a full band to play. But without that big budget to retain everyone's services, as I'm sure you know.
Yes.
Everybody's in 20 bands now. Yeah. You know? And I still think you can make anything work, you know, with Pally, with James, with Sam, who I mentioned earlier. We did some shows in 2016, very little rehearsal, and we pulled it off. You know, it kind of worked. I still think you can make amazing things happen very last minute. In this different, you know, in this different, more kind of open-minded world we have, thanks to the power of the internet, where people are just, yeah, I'll get into that, I'll listen to that thing. But I still think it's nice when you can have a set of musicians that have really been on a journey with the music, really, really got to know it, really understand every single part of the album, you know. And I think that's always the double-edged sword now of everybody's in lots of different acts. Yeah. It's really good for those musicians to stay interested, but then, you know, it's amazing when you see a set of musicians who've really, you know, been on a tour a few times, you know, and really, really gelled. And that, I guess, is harder and harder now that the money's got to be spread thinner and thinner and thinner amongst more and more people, you know.
Right, and it's hard. It's funny because the phenomenon is really you start seeing a lot more two- and three-man bands now than ever. And, I mean, you know, luckily technology has caught up where you can do what you need to do live with much fewer, you know, far fewer people.
Yeah.
Right, you know? Do you ever do anything with any kind of, like, looping or use tracks, or do you straight up a guy and his guitar making it go when you go solo?
At the moment, it's just a guy and his guitar, just because I wanted to explore that and have it really sort of stripped down. But from doing that, and it's definitely reaching people, and it's helping me reinterpret my own songs. But more and more, I'm starting to see that actually, yeah, I just think we've got to adapt to this new way that technology's working, where... Yeah. There are a lot of solo artists who are making really exciting things happen with technology. I mean, one of the things I really love to do is to be able to kind of just take the whole album and, you know, maybe play it back via a computer or something like that. And just to get that across, just so I can, you know, give the audience the full album experience.
Right.
So yeah, I'm open for trying anything, really.
I've seen some people where they utilize that, and I feel like it's a great thing that they do. And I've seen other people do it where it feels real lazy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Yeah. So there's a balance, and there's, you know, there's also all that looping. Yeah. Do you know that? Yeah, obviously you do. I'm not a fan of his music, but I can't, it's hard for me not to give it up for a guy that plays stadiums by himself. But that guy, Ed Sheeran,
you know what I mean?
Like, I've seen him on some TV shows. I'm not like a fan of his music. That's not what I'm looking for, but I'm a fan of his, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. He's an incredible businessman, I think. Yeah. You know, I like a couple of his songs, actually. But I think he's done... Oh, is someone calling you?
Yeah, I'm stopping it. Hold on, sorry.
No problem.
Sorry.
Yeah, he is an incredible businessman, and he's done. I mean, it seems like he's having a good time, and it is pretty amazing. I mean, I don't know how many people you played to at that festival, but I've done some shows by myself where it's a lot of people, and it's like it's tough. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's tough to get that just your thing across when you feel so small. You don't have a giant band behind you with drums and stuff. But he seems to do a good job with all the looping and that. So, have you ever seen him live, like a whole show?
I've never watched him play. I mean, I'm much happier on the stage.
Yeah, than watching
in front. I don't go to see. I tend to only watch bands really when I'm away and working, or if I'm coming to town, because I just get the most horrific stage envy.
Right.
I don't diss people, because I think that. The more successful other people are, the better it is for everybody else, you know. And I think that you can always learn something from somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's just no fun looking at other people and getting jealous. Just look at them and I don't know. I look at Ed Sheeran and I just think, wow, you know, a kid who, you know, he's not particularly beautiful looking. You know, he's not a mega off, you know, he's a very humble guy off stage.
Yeah.
But you look at what he's achieved with his music, with his songs, the people he's reached, the impact he has. I think it's really magnificent. I think it's something to just look at and go, okay, well, just study him. What did that kid figure out? I mean, he went to a college over here, a college called Access to Music. I can't remember which one it was, but. You know, so I think it must have been really interesting. I wish I'd been there.
Yeah,
you know, to see the tutors. You know when people are involved in seeing talent, you know, on the way up. I mean, I don't know if you've ever spotted a band.
Oh yeah, yeah.
On the way up. I mean, I remember like supporting Razorlight years ago, and knowing, you know, in small venues in England, and knowing that they were going to kick off.
Right. Right. I remember going to see or going to Antone's here, and they would be like, "Oh, Eve and Gary are playing," and it was Gary Clark Jr. and he was like 15, and it was like, "Oh, look, he's so good and he's so cute and so sweet. What a nice guy!" And like, you know, now he's like got the lead song in the new Justice League movie with all the superheroes.
No way.
Yeah. What? It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, because I follow Johnny Radelat, the drummer, on social media, and you know, because I like to sort of I like following people who are doing interesting stuff and stuff that relates to me on social media. You know, you always see some interesting stuff, and I mean, yeah, God, the way Gary Clark Jr. has just, you know, gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and I mean, they're always supporting, you know, huge bands.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I don't know how often that happens in Austin in terms of, you know, people coming up and through.
There've been a few like Fastball was one, but that was a long time ago now. That's like 20 years ago already.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But they're still doing well. I mean, they just had a resurgence where somebody interpolated one of their songs in a rap song.
Oh, right.
And they got this huge tour this summer playing with a bunch of other dudes from the 90s, and now they're out on their own tour. So, yeah. It's interesting, this whole business and what it does, you know, how it moves. Did you go to school for drums? Did you go to school for music or anything?
Not remotely.
No.
Not remotely. And I'm very interested in getting involved in working in education.
Well,
in
I
music.
Saw, what is the college thing that you have on your website? You have some different level things.
Yeah, I sort of go into colleges and do little masterclasses sometimes, and I work with a couple of colleges down here in Brighton, and I work with the old college that I studied, well, the very big college that I studied at back in Nottingham, a place called Confetti Music Group, which has just exploded. You know, they've got like a record label and a TV channel and all kinds of things.
Wow.
Because I'd like to be involved in musical education and sort of be able to be the kind of tutor that I never would have had when I was 18 or 19, because I didn't start playing drums till I was 15. I didn't really learn to play guitar till I was like about 30, really. Didn't start writing songs properly till I hit my 30s. And I think sometimes teachers, in my opinion, in my experience, sort of start becoming talent spotters. I don't know if maybe that's changed a lot now.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Where and that's why I think it would be interesting to have been in the room when Ed Sheeran was in a college.
Right.
And you get these people who think, well, I need a job, and so I'll go and do teaching. You know, what is it they say? Those that can't do teach, which is just this horrible
thing. Is horrible.
It's a horrible thing, because it's not true. There's loads of people working in education who are immensely talented and very successful.
And it must be really interesting to see and pick out those kids that have both the right combination of natural talent and drive to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's all work. It's just a matter of if you like it or not. You know what I mean? Because it's all work. Our whole thing is just working all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's important to just give people a space in education where they can try things out, and not to say to somebody, well, that's the wrong way to do it, and you should do it this way, and you should do it that way.
Right.
'Cause let's be honest, unless you are like, you know, Rick Rubin, or unless you are, I can't think of any other big name producers right now, unless you're one of those people that knows how to pick talent, it's, in my opinion, I think it's quite arrogant to be sitting there going, you're going to make it, you're not, this is right, that is right.
Right.
Because I've got no idea.
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
I
meet tons of talented people and see, you know, amazing music all the time. And oh my God, these days you can find absolutely beautiful gems of talent on the internet, you know, amazing music videos made at home on a laptop. Demo recordings made by musicians who don't have a record deal or anything, and you listen to it and it's just beautiful and mind blowing, you know.
Yeah.
And so to try and sort of set yourself up as a talent spotter, you have to be a braver man or woman than me. It's not something that I would aspire to do, because I've had a great musical career, but. But I've never had a hit record or anything like that. And
right.
I think that's still the magical part of it. I mean, it's easy to make music. It's easy to create now, easier than it ever was. And that is a fantastic thing. I want to totally avoid being one of those musicians who goes on about the heyday, which is, I think, a danger for all of us whenever we get together. Start talking about that heyday of when there was more money knocking about, which... Well, maybe it existed, maybe it didn't. I don't know. I mean, personally, I've had a great musical career and it's still happening now.
Yeah.
Still going on. There'll be great things happening next year. And God, who knows what's going to happen to me in 5 years' time or 10 years' time, you know. I think that it's just the difficult part is you can create music, you can create something, you can have an ambition to copy your favorite rock star, or walk in the footsteps of the Beatles or the Stones or whatever that you want to do. But selling music, you know, selling creativity and not destroying it in the process, that's the art form. That's the magic. Is reaching a huge audience, but doing it on your own terms.
Yeah.
And not turning it into just a huge, huge nightmare. And then, of course, maintaining that, because you look at many careers, the artist almost has to go away to be missed.
Right.
So you can't stay in the limelight all the time. You do have to have other things to do.
Yeah.
So you know, listen to us putting the musical world to rights via Skype. You know.
Do you do engineering, like when you write and record? Do you have a space you do your thing in?
I don't at the moment, actually. I just have just a little 8-track, little digital 8-track that I work on.
That's studio. I mean, what goes on that 8-track when you're laying down an idea? Do you have a loop? Do you play some percussion stuff? Do you play a little piano, some bass guitar, some harmonies? Like, what's on those 8-tracks?
It's always just the bare bones of a song, something, you know, and then the little sort of piece of it that will kind of hook you in, like a distorted drum loop or
right.
A guitar riff, just the thing that for me will make people walk away humming it or remembering it, or just something, a bizarre bit of feedback or something like that. I mean, I've got tons and tons of, you know, crazy little demos that will never see the light of day, because you might think it's an utterly fantastic idea when you write it.
Sure.
But then, you know, with more time, you sort of listen back to it, and then it's just maybe the stepping stone to the next thing.
Right. Well, it seems to me, when I listen to the songs that you write, they sound like songs that could have been written on a single instrument, like sitting down on acoustic guitar. But knowing that you're a drummer and knowing your recordings and stuff, I wondered if, because I do most of my writing, it is done while recording, like messing with loops and some weird keyboard thing, and then like lyrics start coming, you know what I mean? It all kind of falls into place for me. But that's because I really started as a songwriter, I had a 4-track, so yeah, I could do more than just play and sing. I still do that, but it's not as like fun of an experience. You know,
I started off on, is it a cassette 4-track you used to use?
Yeah, of course.
I started off on cassette, you know, a cassette 4-track, and it's amazing how the limitations of things in some ways force you to be more creative. And then sometimes you get in the studio and you start overlaying things for the sake of it.
Yeah.
And I sometimes find that... the best bit of advice I ever got, actually, was make your demos really bad.
Yeah, so you don't get really... demo-itis.
Yeah, so yeah. You call it demo-itis, okay. Yeah. Where you just spend like weeks recording something in a big studio and going, why does this sound like crap in comparison to, you know, deliberately. What is on my 8-track is lots of screwed up bits of recording to prevent that kind of demo-itis. That's a good name for it, demo-itis.
Yeah. Well, I've always found that a guy like Frenchie works at a pace where you don't get lost in bullshit.
Yes.
I haven't worked with him a lot, but I've also know a lot of people that do shit with him, and you can get lost in minutia and bullshit, but Frenchie's always keeping it moving, like in that kind of 4-track and 8-track cassette world where you were just like moving from thing to thing, and you didn't really have unlimited tracks like you do now.
I think that he has a relentless energy, that guy. Yeah. I would love to get a blood transfusion from him. one of the, like, you know, because I was thinking about you know since we last spoke, and just thinking, wow man, it's been a bit of a trip, you know, the past 5 years, doing lots of things that I never would have imagined when we were having coffee in that little studio and just hanging out, because it was a
Cove.
Studio in a house, wasn't it? The room.
The room, Texas. Yeah.
Is that still going?
I don't know. Yeah. No, I only went out there to meet you. That was it.
Yeah. And you know, one of those things that was really exciting to do was to get to record with Frenchie again, because when we first, you know, when the Thieves first met him, he was definitely a name about town. I mean, I love his old band, 16 Deluxe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Me too.
Just amazing. And I mean, he's such a, even if he was just a guitarist, he would be a force to be reckoned with. But the fact that he does that, I don't want to blow too much smoke up his arse.
No.
Because he gets. but you know, just if he did that alone, his guitar playing, you know, Young Heart Attack were an amazing band as well. But the fact that then he has developed himself and constantly keeps working on his production skills. I mean, he was brilliantly talented when we met him.
Yeah.
And he definitely, he was like fighting all four of us at the same time. and he definitely, I agree with you, he doesn't allow that kind of self-indulgent nonsense.
No.
He really is a producer. And a modern producer, but then also that old school of like, you're in my studio now and you're going to make a Frenchie Smith record and I will physically battle with you.
Yeah.
if you want to start telling me, oh, right, yeah, this is not, that's not to say he doesn't listen to you and he doesn't,
of course.
You know, we had a fantastic time in, well, I certainly had a fantastic time working with him in his studio just because it was so energetic and it just started. It just sounded better and better and better, and I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the tracks we did, but I mean, I listened to them and I get excited.
Ones that you did with them?
Yeah,
they're beautiful.
It's that thing where you get the CD, because I still burn stuff on the CD. Get the CD back and you play it, and it still sounds as fresh and exciting when you get it home on your stereo, you play it in the car, than when he played it, you know, through the speakers at his studio. And yeah, the fact that he has sort of become Austin's, you know, one of Austin's go-to guys, and the studio always busy, and the quality of the work that comes out of there. What's that band? Oh man,
the Toadies.
The Toadie, and he's worked with them. Leopold and His Fiction.
Oh, that's my band. Yeah
man,
that tune, that's... Cowboy. And like, that's actually been in like a Texaco commercial and some other commercial I saw too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to listen to that stuff when I was over there and just be met with the singer.
Daniel's a great guy.
Oh yeah. What a rock star.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, totally.
And the fact that Frenchie's just constantly, you know, is that I don't think we've even seen the best of him yet as well.
Oh no.
You know, I think there's much more to come. But,
no, and there's something great about him. He keeps his head down. He's just always working. He's just always going from finishing one thing and starting another thing and meeting someone to start a thing after that one ends, you know?
Yeah.
Unbelievable work ethic. So,
It's great.
Sorry?
It's great. And, and you know, I agree with you that he you know, keeps that kind of limitation in the right way in the studio. So long may it continue for Frenchie.
Yes, long live Frenchie Smith. Listen, are you coming back for South By this year, you think?
For 2018?
2018,
It's, I would say, 80% confirmed. I've got in touch with the guys, so I can come back and do a full band show.
Oh, good.
And mix it up, do some acoustic shows, do some full band shows. Each year I'm making more and more friends and contacts so that I can, you know, get around and hang out and play some really interesting shows. So it's 80% confirmed. I really want to do it. It would be really nice to do that and then kind of make that the date for when, like, the full back catalogue is out. Re-release the third album with you know, the new tracks that Frenchie Smith did.
Right.
Because I think it's nice to, because you can just access everything free online now.
Right.
I think the sort of, then maybe if people are buying the record, you give, it's not much, but to give them a couple of different tracks, alternative tracks.
Yeah.
It's a slight bonus, keep that thing alive of people wanting to buy something physical. And I'll be really excited to see, you know, because I did play South by Southwest this year, but just very low key. Mm-hmm. Just did the Chicken Ranch Records Day Party. And the quality of music this year just blew me away. You know, I guess that my favorite band that I saw was Krangbin, that three-piece band from Houston. And I kind of went on more of a trip of exploring, you know, because when you're playing South by Southwest, you're so busy
trying to get to the gig.
Everywhere, and rehearsing, you know, and trying to keep track of everyone and make it really worthwhile and do interviews and chat with everybody. And everyone is on, you know, hustling times a thousand that for, you know, for those couple of weeks that you almost don't get to, you know, experience all the music, the thing that actually is supposed to be happening, which is great music and people listening to music.
Right.
Because there's such a, it's such a noise. It's beautiful in one way, but overwhelming in another. I don't know about you, but I always come out of it feeling like you've crossed the desert, you know, just the because it's 2,000-3,000 bands playing, the cacophony that creates.
Yeah.
Actually, it's almost like, wow, you know, every day your ears are exposed to just more volume than they're ever exposed to for the whole rest of the year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
There's like also a fatigue, like a social fatigue, your aural fatigue. Everything gets to the point where like pretty much every South by Southwest since 93 to now, on the Sunday of it, I usually spend it in bed. And I order Chinese food and just watch movies. And I'm like, I'm not even going to. Yeah.
Don't. Yeah. If someone's sending you a Facebook request to go and see a band, you're like, don't.
No. Well, man, when you come back, if you're coming back for sure, definitely let me know. And we can sit down and do another one of these face to face. And I'd also love to get out and see you play in real life.
That would be very nice, man. It would be lovely. Do this again over a coffee somewhere nice downtown in Austin. I'm looking to get, you know, do quite a few interesting shows, you know, different stuff. I'd really like to play Choose ATL. Some people from Atlanta.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'd really like, you know, because the music scene in Atlanta is insane. So I'm hoping I can, you know, get involved with that this year, and I'll be doing the Chicken Ranch Record Showcase and
maybe Frenchies. I like that party. It's turned into a good party every year.
Yeah, I played that in 2016. I'm going to ask him if I can do it again, but you know, I'm sure he likes to keep the variety up. So maybe you can put in a good word for me, Johnny.
I will. I will put in a good word.
So you want to see me play, so you want...
I do. Well, I'll see you play either way, whether you play there or not. I'm a fan. And is there anything that I'm missing before we go?
Is there anything that you're missing?
Can you imagine how much this would have cost if we would have done this over the phone, like when we were kids? Remember when people would be like, he's calling long distance! Isn't it amazing that you and I can do this Star Trek conversation, like, face-to-face? Just for free, like hanging out.
It is the most. I honestly, every time I am using this kind of technology, every time I'm, you know, when I FaceTime someone from my phone, when I like speak to my mom and dad, I'm like, you know, because even at my age, I still, when I'm getting somewhere, you know, the first thing is like, you've got to let your mom know that you got there, that you haven't been kidnapped, it's completely nuts to, especially as I'm working with musicians again now, on albums or on recordings, like playing with Nick, you know, recording with Nick when, like, your mobile phone, the last time we played together, your mobile phone, you could, like, play a little sort of Caterpillar game on it in text.
Right.
And then now you can record an album on it via GarageBand.
Yeah, you could make a movie on it.
Star Trek it up, because it is Star Trek vibe. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah, it's absolutely mental, and I'm sure Chicken Ranch Records are glad they don't have to foot the bill for a really expensive phone conversation.
Anyway, I am a fan of all this stuff, and I will say this: I was in Mexico last week. We played a gig. The band I was in, our drummer has an Apple Watch, and someone called him, and he was talking to his watch, but I was watching it from across the stage, and I grabbed someone. I was like, remember when that was just something in a Dick Tracy cartoon where you're like, No one can ever talk to someone on their watch, and that guy's totally talking to his wife on his watch. So weird.
The future is here, man. The future is here.
Yes, it is. Well, hopefully
I will see you in the future in 2018, South by Southwest.
2018. People get out to johnny8track.com. Tons of links there for all of your social media, your SoundCloud, your Spotify, and all the places you can find your music. You can actually buy it if you want on bandcamp.com, which is always a great place to go buy music and a great place to discover new music. 8 hours work, 8 hours sleep, 8 hours for what we will is the name of your latest release. And all this stuff is coming out on Chicken Ranch Records. Uh-oh, did you go away? Johnny? Are you there? Oh, no. Okay, sorry.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I lost you right there at the end. I was like, wait a minute, we got to at least say goodbye. But yeah, people can find you at johnny8track.com. And the Chicken Ranch Records is re-releasing all of your back catalog, and that will be available. Hopefully you will be playing some great shows during South by Southwest when you're here.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
It was great talking to you again, and I look forward to seeing you again. Stay in touch. I'll send you a link to all this stuff when it's up and ready to go.
That will be brilliant, man. I'll maybe see you in, so last time we spoke was 5 years ago. I guess I'll see you in 5 months' time, maybe.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Awesome, mate.
See you then. Great talking to you, Johnny.
And you. Cheers. Vegas is the desert crown.
Washington moves them all from Alaska. Johnny 8-Track. You can find him at johnny8track.com. Pick up his album, 8 Hours Work, 8 Hours Sleep, 8 Hours for What We Will. You can find it on Spotify, on SoundCloud, on places where you find music. He's been playing drums with Spiritualized for the last 3 years, but it's great to catch up, even if it was via Skype. We'll be talking again when he comes back during South by Southwest. He said he was 80% sure. That sounds like he's pretty sure he's coming back. So hopefully we will be talking face-to-face, me and Johnny Aiken, also known as Johnny 8-Track. Hey, while you're out there checking out johnny8track.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on the iPhone podcast app, on the Android podcast app, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on Overcast, wherever you find your podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our Facebook page, and you'll get updates and photos and find out what's going on. And also share. Don't forget to share this podcast with the hashtag, #HowDidIGetHerePod. Hashtag, how did I get here pod? Share it if you like it. That's how people find out about this show. So if you're a fan of Johnny 8-Track and you want people to know about him, share this with everyone you know. All right? Let's hear some more music from Johnny 8-Track from his album, 8 Hours Work, 8 Hours Sleep, 8 Hours for What We Will. Great talking to him. They're going to be re-releasing all of his albums on Chicken Ranch Records. So look for that coming up, hopefully in the late fall or in the new year or in the winter or something like that. All right? Keep on checking in with johnny8track.com. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Don't forget, if you're in Pflugerville, come out and see Skyrocket. We'll be in Hanover's doing the thing there. Tomorrow night, Saturday, October 21st, we will be at Fitzgerald's in Houston, bringing the thunder, bringing the love, bringing the rock. Here's Johnny 8-Track. Let's get down.